Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Hey, Julia, what time this hour are we giving away those Suns tickets? Sorry, Jeff. Don't look at me like that, Jeff. If we don't laugh, what are we going to do? Cry?
That would be the next option.
It would be the next option. But it was disappointing, but it's always next year, right?
There is.
And we're hoping.
Yes.
All right. I will not ask you to tell me any Vegas stories.
Thank you.
All right, let's get on to this topic as we roll into this final hour of the show. ASU police make 72 arrests after a pro-Palestinian protester set up tents in Tempe. I want to be very clear. We've had conversations, correspondence with ASU. ASU wants people to know a couple of things, and I think it's the right thing to do. ASU wants people to know that many of the people involved in the protests are not students at Arizona State University. That's first and foremost. So you have people invading the campus. They have no business there, starting trouble and disrupting what's going on campus while students are getting ready for graduation and everything else. Not cool. Not a good thing to do. And secondly, ASU has had a history of this in recent years of nipping things in the bud before they get to be bigger than they need to be. They send a very clear message. Arizona State University, under the leadership of Dr. Crow, has done a very good job, in my opinion, of allowing for voices from everyone. There doesn't seem to be inequality in the voices. You look at what's happening at Columbia University. You're not just talking about people that are pro-Palestinian. These are anti-Semites, and there's a big difference. Let me explain the difference. They are flying the Hamas flag. On October 7th, Hamas mutilated and murdered Israelis indiscriminately. There was no such thing on October 7th as a civilian. And so even if you are saying to yourself, and I know there are some out there that are saying, what is happening now goes too far. And if I don't agree with you, by the way, but I understand your point. You're not pro-Israel. You're not pro-Palestinian necessarily. What you're seeing is death and you want it to stop. That's not what these people are doing. They are flying the Hamas flag. Big difference. Big difference. Northeastern University, they dispersed a crowd at Northeastern University while they chanted death to Jews. The head of the guy that was kind of leading the protest at Columbia University defended their actions by saying that Zionists, that's anybody that believes that the Jews and the Israelis have a right to the land of Israel, if that's the Zionist state, that Zionists, and I would be considered a Zionist because I believe that that is Israel's land, that people like me don't deserve to live. He defended the murder of some people, saying sometimes the death of people is good. Now, I'm paraphrasing that, but that's what they did. So finally, after all of that, it took how long of all of this going on before Columbia University threw that person off campus? It's taken until today before they gave a more an ultimatum of when protesters had to abandon what they were doing. It doesn't matter that they're interrupting classes. Classes had to be held online and not held in person. What it's going to do to college graduations. You have these same protesters that disrupted the correspondence dinner for the White House and other things. We played some audio from a protest as there was during Hanukkah, as in Washington, D.C., where there were people leaving a Hanukkah celebration and there were people in cars going by calling them occupiers, saying death to you occupiers, calling for the death of Jews once again. So here at Arizona State University, why is it different? Well, it's different because bad behavior isn't tolerated no matter who it is that's behaving badly. And I think that is a credit to leadership at Arizona State University. When you post online that your demands, including disbanding the Arizona State Police Department and the Tempe Police Department, you're ridiculous human beings. When you demand the resignation of the president of the university, a president of the university that has had that university being named the most innovative university in the on the planet multiple times, you're ridiculous. You're ridiculous. When you say we have to divest in any investment in anything in Israel and no longer participate in exchanges of students or professors from Israel, you're ridiculous. Your demands are dumb. That's one thing. You have a right to demand them. Go on social media, make your demands. You have those rights. I'll argue with them. I'll laugh at them. I would have you on the show to try to defend them. You have a right to your opinion. When you are in a place where you're obviously trespassing, when you don't have any reason to be on the campus of a university, Arizona State University or otherwise, and you plant your flag by putting up tents and you're told you have to leave and you don't leave, your items should be destroyed and you should be arrested. And 72 people were. It sends a message of what will be tolerated and won't. Dr. Crow and the leadership at Arizona State University has set a standard. We allow people to speak. We want everyone to feel comfortable in what they believe. There's a big difference. I have heated discussions with people all the time, and I know many of us do. Whether it's something as simple as sports, and I love this team and I hate that team, who's the greatest basketball player of all time, and why is it Michael Jordan and not LeBron James? That's a great conversation. We understand them. All of this stuff. I love those conversations, whether it's something as serious as a topic like abortion, or it's something as trivial in the minds of some as what our favorite sports team is. I grew up in a place where I'm a Miami Hurricane, but Florida loves college football. I've got close friends that are diehard Gators and friends that are diehard Seminoles, and we argue with each other all football season, and when we play each other, the smack talk is unending. In the end, nobody behaves horribly, and if they do, everybody says that went too far. Here you have situations where people believe, and they are all self-aggrandizing, self-indulgent fools, that they are going to go and they are going to disrupt the lives of other people. Well, I am so glad campus leadership stood up and said, you're not doing that here. By the way, these very same people were angry when somebody they disagreed with politically was scheduled to speak on their campus whatsoever. You do remember that at Arizona State University, there were students that were involved in a campus meeting, a government meeting, student government meeting, and Jewish students were in attendance, and people began to throw rocks at the windows. And the students in that meeting, Jewish students and otherwise, had to be escorted out of the meeting room because of the protesters outside. At some point, you've got to put your foot down and say this behavior is unacceptable. And if you look at what's happened, Arizona State University once again did it much sooner than Columbia or Northeastern or these other universities. And I think it's going to bode well for them in the future. I think you're going to see more diversity on their campus. I think you're going to see more voices on their campus, more reasonable discussions, which is exactly what you're supposed to do in college. In college, you take all of your ideas that you have in the childhood ideas you have at 18 years old. You're still thinking much like a child. You lived in your parents' home, but you're going to an institution of higher learning and you're going to have an opportunity to spread your wings. You are going to be there. There's a huge difference between 18 and 22 when you leave that campus. And there should be room for growth and room for different opinions and how you argue and debate. And I think Arizona State does a great job of examining how you debate. I think it's a great example and good for them. So somebody passed the word on to Arizona State leadership. Good for you. Coming up in a moment, it's Did You Hear This? It's how we catch you up on the biggest news stories of the day. We'll get to it in just a few moments.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, let's catch up on these this busy news day. Did you hear this?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
A Occupants of the nearly two-week-old pro-Palestinian encampment on Columbia University's central lawn were given a deadline of 2 p.m. to pack up and leave or face immediate suspension. That deadline has now passed.
In a Monday statement, the university president saying the encampment is, quote, creating an unwelcome environment for members of our community. Protesting students were told they would not be punished if they left and signed an agreement promising to comply with university policy through the end of the next academic year.
How did Arizona State University's handling of on-campus protests differ from Columbia University and others?
Oh, I just think, sorry to interrupt you, I think it's a huge difference. The difference at Arizona State University is making it clear we are open to discussion and we are open to debate. What we are not open for is you intimidating people, trespassing, and disrupting what happens on our campus. I thought they intervened quickly. I thought they were definitive. I thought they were very good in making sure people knew that a lot of these protesters have no connection to Arizona State University and are certainly not students. And I thought what that did was protect everybody's right to speak. And I thought they handled it very well. And I'm very proud of the way ASU did it.
Just pretend that the whoosh is happening.
Okay,
because
all
the
right.
file is not
all right,
coming
that's
up.
Okay.
Okay, moving on.
Whoosh. All right, go on.
Phoenix Mercury and WNBA star Brittany Griner, who was released from Russian detention in a high-profile prisoner swap in 2022, is opening up in an exclusive interview with ABC's Robin Roberts on the first moments following her arrest in a Russian airport.
To be somewhere where there's no understanding in the U.S. and I can articulate what happened, how this happened. I didn't plan to do this. This was a mistake. It was an accident, which I understand accidents have repercussions, but there's nothing. There's none of that.
How can the United States bring home all citizens unlawfully detained in other countries?
Man, it's such a great question that there are times when you have to navigate other nations' laws and there are other times that diplomatically you've got to put your foot down. And I think in many of these cases, especially in the cases of journalists where they haven't done anything wrong, they make up and they trump up charges and accusations. I think we have to be a lot more emphatic in showing the world that if you mess with American citizens internationally, there's going to be serious repercussions. Because if you don't do that, a lot of these despots and a lot of these other people are going to mistake your kindness for weakness. And it's unfortunate that it happens that way. But I think we have to be a lot stronger in going after our citizens when they are being illegally kept in other countries. Whoosh. All right, how about we just keep doing that? You're listening to Did You Hear This? We do it every day at 11:20, whether or not the sound is making its noises, and we want to get you caught up on the biggest headlines.
College decision day is around the corner for many American high school seniors, but many students are now making the decision to not go to college, opting instead to attend trade schools.
With private college tuition up nearly 4% from last year, according to the College Board, and tuition nearing $100,000 a year at some universities, more students are turning to trade schools, where enrollment jumped by a record 16% last year, compared to just over 1% for traditional college.
How do trade schools open opportunities for those who have different interests?
I just think this has been an underserved population, and I'm glad it's starting to get the notoriety. It was something that saved me in the 1980s, but we always have had this need. I moved to Arizona in 1995, and I had huge success as an electrician and found a job right away. I had job security and stability, and I think opening these career doors for people, we're going to find a balance, and the balance is necessary because these jobs are going to be necessary for a long time. So I think trade schools and trades in general are showing people an opportunity at security in life without all of the debt, and it's going to leave the college education for the people that, when they create the debt, are getting the jobs that pay that debt off. And I think that's the balance we need, and it's the balance we're going to find.
It was a disappointing end to the season for the Phoenix Suns when they were swept by the Minnesota Timberwolves last night. Phoenix Suns beat reporter for Arizona Sports, Kellen Olson, says it might be the end of the road for head coach Frank Vogel.
They're in trouble no matter what. Like, if this is not a good time to be looking for a new head coach, which they very well could be, this is not a good time for them to try and reshape the roster because they don't really have any great avenues.
Who was more at fault for this season, the players or the coach?
I think it's a combination of the two, but I think when you look at great coaches are able to make the collective better than the the individual parts, and the Suns are certainly not that. They have got great pieces of that puzzle. I don't know a whole lot about coaching basketball, but I will tell you that they are a different team now than they were under their previous coach. And this is not a knock against this guy. Maybe he was a bad fit. But when you have the big pieces that they have and the names that they have, when you've got Devin Booker, who scored 49 points in the loss, you have got all the pieces there. Who is the one to bring that chemistry to the team? So I would say that here's the difference, and one disagreement in what you just played, is I think the Suns have got some great pieces of a puzzle here that somebody that is a great mind in the NBA would love to say, I would love to take these individuals and make them a team again because I think they could be great. I think there's an opportunity for someone that wants to do that in a place where this team is absolutely loved by its fan base. That's the difference. Great job navigating the Monday disasters, Julia.
You know, the sounder just decided to have an error, file not found, on
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get it fixed by tomorrow,
That's
I'm sure.
Right.
All right. Thanks again. Good job, Julia. Coming up in a moment, we shift back to the U.S. economy. We've been talking about this a lot, about our national debt, but some good news as well. I'm going to give you some really good examples of what Arizona has done and is doing that puts them as a leader. What are the keys to a solid economy? I'll give you those keys and what Arizona's done, and I hope they stay on that path. We're going to do that coming up next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, we talked about this last week, the double whammy of the report that came out that showed inflation was higher than expected, 3.5% year over year. At the same time, there was a dramatic slowdown in the economy. And if there was both the drop in inflation and the slowing down of the economy, people would see this as possibly that landing point where we could start looking at rate decreases. What we are seeing is a dramatic slowing of the economy, 1.6% growth, dramatically lower than what they thought it was going to be, and inflation remaining sticky at 3.5% year over year, lower than it was at its peak, which is going to be the selling point politically. But the American people are still feeling it. And this is where overall the problems lie. I'm going to get into stuff that I know I get into all the time. I'm going to try to stay away from it. They're talking about stagflation. A string of inflation reports during the first 3 months of 2024 all came in above estimates, fueling fears that inflation could prove more difficult to conquer than previously believed. On top of that, the economic growth during the first quarter unexpectedly faltered, rising an annualized pace of just 1.6% at the slowest rate since 2022. So here's a quote. This was a worst of both worlds report, slower than expected growth, higher than expected inflation. The biggest setback is the acceleration in core inflation, and in particular, the services sector rising above 5% annual rate. So the reason why I talk about this, and I think it's important for all of us to understand, is the absolute tone-deaf attitude of the federal government. And I think a lot of businesses, but individuals and families certainly, have had to adjust your budgets and your way of life and make concessions. We are seeing full speed ahead in every sector of the government. So let's look at the other side of this. What Arizona has done in the last 10 years, I want to go back to the lessons learned. If you go back to when the market went south and the real estate bubble burst, how bad it damaged Arizona. I'll tell you what we learned. We learned as a state that we needed to diversify our economy. And here's why. Because impact fees and construction fees were so big a part of the Arizona economy that we were not diverse enough to withstand it when that sector crumbled. Arizona was in the worst place for debt per capita, I think, than any other state. If we weren't, we certainly were in the top three. I've given a lot of credit to our former governor at the time, Jan Brewer, and I'll tell you why. Governor Brewer was thrown into the job to begin with. She was the Secretary of State when Janet Napolitano left office to be Barack Obama's Secretary of Homeland Security. Our governor was thrust into the position. And so she was thrust into this position where when all of this burst and all of these things began to happen, she was thrust into a position of very difficult decisions along with the legislature. And at the time, it was a very strong majority of Republicans. And they had to make very big decisions on cuts in spending and selling of state buildings and leasing them back and anything they could do to balance the budget. And they were not very popular within the Republican Party here. There was a lot of dissent in the Republican Party about the decisions that were being made. And yet they navigated through it. And I'm not going to say that people believe she was 100% right on anything, but she was laser focused on what we needed to do to stabilize the economy. And I equating it to going to, you get into a horrible crash and you're sent to the emergency room. The emergency room doctor and the emergency room staff, their job is to stabilize the patient, save your life, get you stable so that you can heal. And then they bring in the specialists, the orthopedic surgeons and the neurologists to get you back on a path of good health. But your job is to stabilize the patient. And they did that. Moving forward, Arizona and the people in the know understood, whether it was the formation of the Commerce Authority or it was working with the Chambers of Commerce at the state level and the local level and GPEC, the Greater Phoenix Economic Council, or these other organizations, and what we needed to do to diversify our economy. But here's the path they went on. When Governor Ducey came into office, he worked with the legislature, and the vision was this: we're going to rebuild the economy by having the government get out of the way. We're going to reduce taxes. We're going to remove a ton of regulation. And about 3,000 regulations were reversed or at least diminished in Arizona to make it easier for business and industry to come here. We said it's going to be an easier place to pay your taxes. You're going to keep more of your own profits here. And you are also going to find it easier to do business here. You take a look around. I don't think anybody would say that what Arizona has done in the past 10 years now as anything but good. You look at the reduction in regulation. We are seeing that we haven't destroyed the water. We haven't destroyed the air. We haven't destroyed any of these things. What we've done is we've improved the business climate. The biggest example I can tell you is if you go out in the 303 out in the West Valley, for me, and there's a lot of it out in the East Valley as well. If you look at the construction that's been done, the construction quality of construction itself is still at a very high level. You are seeing businesses and you are seeing jobs that are coming here that are much higher paying. So we haven't destroyed or diminished the quality of life for employees. It's actually improved because of the competition of the businesses that have come here. The example, and I think the argument can be made, that when the government gets out of the way, entrepreneurs will find a way. I saw a story this morning that said that Arizona is not doing very well in access to preschool. And I thought, you know, I know that the industry will fix this given the opportunity, because with more and more families coming to the state of Arizona, more and more people coming here to raise their families, and the need for childcare is out there. Whether it is a few individuals that say we see a market here where we could start a business that's going to grow very well. Let's go out there and let's build some of these places. And there are corporations that do it. There are individuals that do it. But when you see a market need, the market need is addressed. I don't like the fact that we're not doing something else in the affordable housing market. I think once somebody breaks through with that, once you get a city that commits to saying, you know what, we're going to make sure this works. We're going to try this. We are going to allow smaller lot sizes. We're going to build smaller homes. We're not going to have the stringent restrictions and requirements on landscaping. In other words, we're going to allow builders to build a quality product that is smaller and less expensive to build, so it's less expensive to sell as a starter home or for the older people. And, you know, I may find myself in that position someday as well. I live alone now. Unless I want to buy a smaller condo, if I want to buy a home, I'm not able to buy just a home that suits just me. You're not going to find a tiny little house with a big kitchen like I want that doesn't have 3 bedrooms or 4 bedrooms. If I want to downsize, my option is a condo. I don't want to live in a condo. I don't want to live in a townhome. No offense. If I can, I'd like to have a yard. I'd like to have my own space. And so for older people that are looking to downsize on fixed incomes, why wouldn't you go to a smaller home on a smaller lot with less upkeep and all of those things without the condo fees or the fees for for an HOA, those should be options for people. And when a city does that, you're going to find investors that are going to come in droves, because smart people investing money that want to make a profit on their money will see the 10-year return, the 5-year return on building affordable housing for people that will be snapped up by people just starting in their lives or in the twilight of their careers where they want to downsize. It's an underserved market. And I think Arizona has set the example of saying, we're going to turn loose the entrepreneurs. If you're someone that's got a phenomenal business idea, come to Arizona with your idea, and we are going to give you an opportunity to flourish. Your taxes are going to be low, meaning you're going to keep more of your own profits here in the state of Arizona. First and foremost, you should be able to keep the majority of your profits. But we're also going to give you an opportunity to flourish because our regulations are such that we're going to allow you to do what you do best. I think it's an example for the country. I think the federal government needs to catch on sooner rather than later. And we'll see. We'll see if they do it. All right, coming up, we got a few headlines to talk about, and then we're going to find out what's coming up 2 to 4 with the Chris and Joe Show.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, happy Monday from the Mike Broomhead Show. Again, the big highlights today on our show, what we've been talking a lot about is economy, of course. The Supreme Court at the end of last week, Arizona State Supreme Court last week, saying that they are not going to revisit their decision on the abortion law. So it looks like it's going to go to the Senate on Wednesday for the Senate to overturn the 1864 law. And then if that happens, and the governor signs it 90 days after the session is over, the legislative session is over, we revert back to the 2022 law, which is a 15-week ban. Those are a couple of things we've been talking about. And Joe Huizenga joins us from the Chris and Joe Show, which is on here 2 to 4. Before we get into the big stories for you, I know, how long have you been in Arizona?
I came out here, went to ASU back in 2000.
Okay, so you've been around for quite a while.
Long enough.
Your opinion on what you saw from the Phoenix Suns and their exit from the playoffs. There's a lot of people saying that because of the high expectations, not that this is the worst Suns team they've ever seen, but it certainly is the biggest disappointment because of the expectations they had.
Underwhelming.
And yeah.
It felt like, I watched all the games. Not all the regular season games, but all the playoff games for sure. It just felt like they didn't have hunger. It felt like they didn't have enough, kind of like dogs in the fight. They've got star players, obviously, Durant, Booker, Beal, and even some good role players, but just nobody who's like, hey, you know what? That guy is going to be the one to dive on the floor and come up with the rebound.
But in spite of the losses, you've got Devin Booker still with 49 points in the loss. There's got to be a bright spot there that this guy is never going to give up. And even he at the end was talking about it being the little things. Was he taking a shot at the GM or a shot at the coach or not a shot at anybody? Just saying that when you get to this point, the little things make a big difference.
The problem is, though, you lost 4 straight games. Four nothing. You're 1-2-3 and you're out after game 4. They lost them all. You can say, yeah, they played with a lot of heart in that fourth game, but they still lost it. And you know, what do you do now? You've got this team that has a ton of money invested in it. You've got a head coach who, man, is he on the hot seat right now. I don't think he's the problem, but I think he's going to end up having to be the fall guy.
And see, I do think that he is part of the problem. And I don't know a whole lot about basketball, but I look at the same nucleus
here.
There's
a lot of people. I mean, you could also argue Beal, Durant, Booker, all the guys on the team are part of the problem,
too. Do you think that Durant and Booker look the same now as they did under Monty?
Good question. No, I don't. But I also think that was a different team, too. It had Ayton. It had some different pieces. And believe me, I'm not saying bring back DeAndre Ayton.
I just think they had a different attitude. There was a level of hunger. Now, I'm not blaming the coach for that part of it.
Yeah, I mean, did Monty win either? I mean, look what Monty Williams did in Detroit this year.
Yeah, but look what he did here. They went to the NBA Finals.
Yep, they did.
So I just think that there's a level of, and again, that might be a perfect example.
But he lost Ayton, too. That there was chemistry issues there.
This coach might go on to another team and do an amazing job because
the Lakers
chemistry
to a
works.
Finals. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that he had the chemistry here. That's the thing for me.
Oh, I agree. He didn't.
I think that's on him.
There's a lot of reasons that this team didn't win. But to me, it really comes down to defense didn't look good. And he's supposed to be a defensive coach. And again, it just felt like they didn't have the heart when it came to getting the rebounds and the things like that. And at the end of the day, I think they'll need to move on from the coach. But I'm not so sure that it's as simple as, oh, we'll just plug in a new coach and we'll be back in the finals.
No, I think they've got to do a lot of work, but I think it begins there.
Yeah.
I think it's going to.
Where they're in trouble, though, is the salary cap and all the aprons and all these rules with basketball. They've traded draft picks and swapped picks and taken swaps of swaps. And now I'm getting real nerdy with basketball, yeah. But they're going to be up against it. They can't make a lot of moves.
Well, and that's where I'm anxious to see what they do next. I think the coach is definitely gone.
I think Mike Broomhead is going to have to come off the bench for him, because if I know one thing about you, you're a dog, man. You get in there and you fight.
5'8 with a 3-inch vertical. I'm going to help this team.
Yeah. You can just put that backside into somebody and box them out.
I can back somebody down.
There you go. That's what the Suns need.
What do you guys got coming up on your show?
Well, only happy stuff. Only happy stuff.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about ASU, what the heck went down there over the weekend.
Talked about that a lot.
Lovely. Israel and Palestine, all these pro-Palestinian protesters down at ASU. I mean, I spent 4 years at ASU. Didn't see people setting up tents ever.
Well, and ASU made it a point to say, hey, we want you to know that a lot of these people are not students or have no connection to ASU.
And 80% of the arrests, not
that
students.
That is a great point. Yeah. I think that's an excellent point that needs to be made on behalf and defense of ASU.
Hold on. So you're not in the group that says Michael Crow needs to go and we need to get rid of the ASU and Tempe police?
No,
that's
I'm not
going to solve the issues over in Gaza?
It's not.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure of a lot of things, but I'm pretty sure about that.
Their demands made a lot of sense to me. I just got to tell you. And then 6-month anniversary of Preston Lord's passing.
Okay.
And Chandler suggesting some new, they call it social hosting rules.
Yeah.
So some things there with Chandler that we're going to dive into as well.
All right. That's the Chris and Joe Show 2-4 right here on KTAR News. We are just about out of time, but thanks for listening today. And again, my show starts just after 8. We're on at 8:15 after the expansion, but join us tomorrow morning at 8 or whenever you can for part of your day. Thanks for listening for part of yours today. We'll talk again tomorrow. God bless.